What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Katie Halper Show. You can hear the Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI. That's 99.5 FM or WBAI.org. You can also find us on SoundCloud and on iTunes, where you can rate and review us. And you can find us on Facebook. On today's episode, we speak to Huffington Post journalist Paul Blumenthal about his piece, How a Twitter Fight Over Bernie Sanders Revealed a Network of Fake Accounts. One Democratic Party consultant said an unnamed client controlled many of these accounts. And that Democratic Party consultant is Sally Albright, and the person who used a bunch of statistics and tools and things I'm incapable of using to discover that she was running a troll farm is someone who goes by the name Liking Online. I interviewed him, and he's really interesting, and my interview with him is available to our Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Again, that's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. And welcome to the Katie Halper Show. I'm your host, Katie Halper. And you know what's happening. I'm being joined, of course, by... It's been a while, but he's back. He's back in action.
It's the one, the only, Gabe Pacheco.
Gabe Pacheco, yeah. Welcome back.
I'm back.
How's life?
Oh, life is fantastic, man. I was just uploading new pictures to my Instagram. I uploaded this insane photo of this wealthy supervillain, Jeff Bezos.
Nice.
And he's walking this robot dog. I'm super excited that he is making robot dogs because I'm allergic to real dogs.
There you go.
So hopefully these like 2.0 robot dogs will take over the whole market, and then we can just euthanize the organic ones.
Don't ever, do not even say that. It's not even funny.
Just so that I can visit all of my friends that have, you know, want pets.
Sure. How about we don't euthanize the ones who are alive, though? Maybe sterilize them.
We'll phase them out.
That's a good compromise. We're going to do a mass dog sterilization program.
Right, and then we get these new robot dogs with lithium batteries and solar panels. No, they look like monsters. They're straight.
Sounds like a great plan.
They're straight. Well, we got to make them cuter.
Pacheco Halper 2020. We got it in the bag, yeah.
Yeah,
we got to make them cuter.
When I saw him walking down the street with this, though, it immediately made me think of Black Mirror Season 3. They got an episode called Metalheads, and it's about an apocalyptic future where all of the security dogs have revolted against the people and killed them. So
you're
here
making
we see.
It even sound even better. I mean, you're like, they're ugly. They're going to kill us. What's not to like? We actually remember Aaron Neff was on their show, and we talked about homelessness, and you brought up a study about homeless people who have dogs living longer.
Yes, because you need to have something to love.
Yes, and it's true. And when humans look into the eyes of dogs and dogs look into the eyes of humans, we release oxytocin, the bonding hormone.
It's like they have mirroring neurons, which is what humans, I think humans have. Mirroring neurons help us learn from watching.
Oh.
So you don't actually have to do the thing. You can just watch somebody else and
it's how people become drug addicts. I learned from watching you, like the old advertisements used to say. The old adverts, right?
So sad,
when
yeah.
When his father would discover his son doing drugs, found out it was because he learned from watching him.
Look, Dad, it's
where
not...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
What else is going on? Oh, I read about Uber driverless cars killed their first person recently.
He says, so, smiling ear to ear. And I'm not even outing you because the audience can hear you laughing. So,
no,
yeah.
I am just,
you it's know. It's in incredulity, right?
What is it? This is a sardonic sort of acceptance that our techno overlords are going to lead to the apocalypse.
It's a Buddhist laugh. You're like, I'm not going to suffer. Why be attached?
Yeah. It's yeah. either these robot guard dogs that are going to chase us all down, or when we run into the highway, we're going to get killed by Nissan Acuras that are without drivers at the
automated
wheel.
yeah
like that Stephen King movie Maximum Overdrive, where the cars all come to, well, all machines
combined with Cujo.
Yes.
How you like that? You must be so impressed that I could bring up any pop culture horror movie, horror book reference.
Super excited that you did that.
Yeah.
Deep cut.
This is a historic day. Yeah, this episode of the Katie Halper Show is sponsored by, insert, like, some neo-Luddite anti-technology organization, by the Amish community.
Right.
This episode of the Katie Halper is brought to you by the Amish.
We're over here in an undisclosed location churning our own butter.
Yeah, driving a horse and buggy around my apartment.
Shout outs to all the Mennonites in the neighborhood.
Mennonites and Womenites. Little Justin Trudeau.
It's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to
We'd like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
This is an inclusive show here.
We can all learn from each other.
Yes.
Never forget.
Yeah. We're holding a space for all the Womenites.
And for people who don't identify as either.
Or the Mennonexes.
We're going to have to transcribe this episode too, for so people can get all of our references.
What do you have for me?
I was in Canada. Vancouver's pretty. I went snowshoeing. It inspired me to work on a show, maybe a traveling review, called Jews and Snowshoes.
Uh-huh.
I think there are a lot of legs, no pun intended, just out of that. I saw the musical Fun Home, as in Funeral Home, which is written by Alison Bechtel. She wrote a graphic novel that was turned into a musical by two women, a woman composer and a woman librettist. Alison Bechtel of the Bechtel Test,
yes.
Which is about, like, whether or not any conversations in films happen between women that aren't about men.
You know, I wanted to define it before you did, but then I held a space
held
for you
space,
to do
you
it.
Step back.
So that I wouldn't be mansplaining the Bechtel Test.
Exactly.
To you.
Yeah, that would have been, we should do that though. We should do a series called Gabe Mansplains Feminism to Katie. And then I can, like, white-splain, like, great moments in Chicano history or
I would love that. Yeah.
Let me tell you about Cesar Chavez. He's a dude. Yeah, Alison Bechtel, and it's about her childhood. It's really good, and I haven't read the book. I'd like to, but come on the show, Alison. But the musical is about her childhood, growing up, raised by a closeted gay father who commits suicide. And I'm not giving that away. That's off
no,
the bat.
That's the premise.
That's the premise, yeah. And she's like, caption, my father was a gay closeted man who committed suicide. Caption, I am a lesbian cartoonist.
Caption, my dad and I both grew up in the same small Pennsylvania town, and he was gay, and I was gay, and he killed himself. And I became a lesbian cartoonist.
Anyway, I recommend it. If you can see it, track it down. I guess they're traveling.
Is it on YouTube? Because I only watch things on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Great.
Yeah. It's really great. And it's really pretty. The music is great. I saw that. What else?
Dude, what? We got anniversaries coming up.
Anniversaries left and right. Vietnam, the 50th anniversary of the My Lai massacre.
Okay, just America. You
doing US, what it does best.
Really, really, really stunting out there.
Yeah. 504 civilians and non-combatants were mowed down by soldiers. Allegedly, it's not clear how much, but Colin Powell, he was involved in covering it up, perhaps. He wasn't there. Also, Colin Powell, I just came across randomly. I came across a video of him talking Yiddish. He had a Jewish employer in a furniture store.
When you were a young man growing up in the city, my understanding is you worked in a baby furniture store.
Yep.
And you picked up some Yiddish sayings.
Yeah, gesunden Keppel. Yeah, whenever I was kind of annoyed with somebody, I got gesunden Keppel. Depending on how you say it, it's mm-hmm. either a blushing or a slap in the side of the head. I preferred it as a slap in the side of the head.
So shout out to Colin Powell for keeping that language alive.
Well, where's he from?
He's born in Harlem as the son of Jamaican immigrants.
Okay, so he's a New Yorker. Everybody in New York's
yes.
a little bit Jewish.
We're all a little bit Jewish, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so he was maybe involved in that cover-up. And also another great anniversary coming up, another hit, the Iraq War. Yay, 15 years since the Iraq War.
That's right.
Give it up.
In one more year, the Iraq War can drive. So
depending on the state.
Mm-hmm. And what's going on with Afghanistan? So it's like 2 years older or a year older?
Oh, yeah. I don't even. So, oh, yeah. Afghanistan is, I guess, Iraq's older brother. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Are they Irish twins? Are they less than nine, whatever?
Less than 12 months apart.
That might be a problematic phrase. Irish, I didn't mean anything about it. Nothing, happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody out there.
Happy, belated St. Paddy's Day. We say that with nothing but respect for the Irish. I got to say, as a Jew, sometimes it's like, thank God for Italians and Irish people, because I'm kind of allowed to make fun of them, right? Or no? Am I punching a G? I'm at least punching laterally. I'm not punching down, because I feel like Jews, Italians, and Irish, we're like kind of in the same.
There, you know, you all have that immigrant struggle
right
here in New York City.
But
that Ellis Island
yeah
struggle.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Right. But we're white. I can definitely make fun of WASPs because they're the top dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I feel no guilt about that. And I can only go so far with Irish people and Italian people, but I can do something. Obviously, reference to being Catholic, not using birth control, and having kids less than 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Shout
outs to No Sex Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout outs to that. Yeah. Shout outs to the Catholic Church.
Yo, stay fruitful. Keep multiplying.
We're going to have to look into that. We can do it. Maybe we can do a paternity test for Afghanistan and Iraq, but I'm pretty sure the father is George Bush Sr. And Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Iraq has three daddies.
Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah. All those.
Paul Wolfowitz. Shout outs to all the neocons out there.
All the neocons. Yeah.
Causing trouble.
Going from Marxist to reactionary.
Bringing the ruckus.
Yeah. Wolfowitz is terrible. I kind of miss those guys. Those guys were fun to hate. And.
You mean, what is it? I guess the opposite of chaotic evil. Organized evil.
Yeah, but they're regime change evil. So they actually are chaotic, but they're stealth. They're like pretend to be cakewalkish, right? They pretend it's going to be a cakewalk, which is going to slip in one guy here, take one guy out here. And then next thing you know, you got like ISIS and Al Qaeda. They're like, it's like a surprise party. Surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a town hall meeting on inequality that Bernie Sanders was at, Elizabeth Warren was at, Derek Hamilton, Michael Moore. Derek Hamilton brought up the big R word, reparations.
I am very pleased now to introduce Professor Derek Hamilton. Derek teaches economic and urban policy at the New School in New York City. Both his academic work and activism is aimed at promoting greater economic, political, and social inclusion. His work examines inequality and identity, racism, and socioeconomic outcomes.
So if we really want to address our race problem, I'm going to say something bold, but America needs to come to reckoning with this. We can redress inequality, and we have lots of programs to do so. But if we really want to address the race problem, there needs to be acknowledgement to go along with that redress. Senator Warren talked about ways in which, even beyond slavery, that we positioned one group of people better off to grow their assets where other people were denied access to that. So to really get beyond our race problem, when we're ready as a nation to come together, we need to come to grips with reparations.
Love reparations.
We do love reparations. We got Nando Villa, who outed Bernie as not supporting them. He explained to us on the show, he made amends, Nando, for asking him that question, for setting him up. That bitch set him up. Well, luckily, he made amends. And of course,
Nando, friend of the show.
Yeah. And then Ta-Nehisi Coates covered that story, went after Bernie, but then wound up endorsing Bernie. And we should have him back on. And some other stories that we want to get into is this really interesting expose, how a Twitter fight over Bernie Sanders revealed a network of fake accounts. One Democratic Party consultant said an unnamed client controlled many of these accounts. About Sally Albright. We love Sally Albright.
She's like a Twitter
Twitter personality who also worked for Newt Gingrich and was on Hillary's 2008 comms team, which may explain why she lost.
To be a Newt Gingrich, who was the enemy for the Clintons
for
a while.
Exactly. So she worked with Newt Gingrich after she worked for Clinton. She also worked for Bob Bentley, the governor of Alabama, Republican.
So she's a mercenary.
She's a total mercenary. Although, here's what's weird. When she was working on Bob Bentley's gubernatorial campaign, She apparently was doing that for free out of the kindness of her own heart, which is, I don't know which is worse, because he's an Alabama Republican.
Pro bono.
Pro boner. Sorry.
Yeah. So she works for Alabama conservatives for free. For the love.
For the love. She's doing it for love. She's kind of one of the faces of the pseudo-woke, the people who claim to defend Clinton and her coalition and her movement because they are feminists and anti-racists, but they're actually quite bigoted in a lot of their writing and their tweets. And Sally's most famous tweet was when she said, "Income inequality only matters to cis white straight men. The rest of us have bigger problems." The irony is that if you get how racism and sexism work, you get that the people who are most hurt by income inequality are people of color and women disproportionately.
Yeah.
And so Sally Albright, it turns out, you know, lots of people like calling people they disagree with bots. It's like a total baseless smear. Literally, you just throw it out there.
I've gone from calling people thoughts to calling people bots.
From thoughts to bots, the life of Gabe Pacheco.
That's right. It's all thoughts on my IG and it's all bots on my Twitter.
It turns out that Sally is involved in a troll farm, right? This woman who constantly tweets about other people being bots and trolls, she herself is involved in one. And in fact, I spoke to Paul Blumenthal about this. Really excited to have joining us, making his Katie Halper Show debut. He's going to get the Katie Halper Show bump. Big day in history for this guy. Huffington Post journalist Paul Blumenthal. Thanks for coming on, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You had a piece at the Huffington Post called "How a Twitter Fight Over Bernie Sanders Revealed a Network of Fake Accounts." One Democratic Party consultant said an unnamed client controlled many of these accounts. And this article is about one of the show's favorites, Sally Albright, a Democratic Party communications consultant who backed Hillary Clinton. And she has a very interesting resume. She's worked for Newt Gingrich. She's worked for... Sally Albright works for the Alabama Democratic Party, the Alabama Republican Governor Robert Bentley. She was his new media director. She once tweeted, "I heard Dr. Bentley on the local news. He's leading the charge to protect Alabamians from the Obamacare mandate." This guy then was accused of misconduct.
I believe he had an affair and used state government resources.
Yeah.
To sort of cover up the affair. And then when he's the one who actually appointed Luther Strange to the Senate, because Luther Strange was the attorney general at the time and was investigating him.
Oh, nice.
And that led to the whole Roy Moore fiasco.
Oh, right. She's kind of like a real Renaissance woman, if you will, politically. And she really pushes the Bernie Sanders and his supporters are racist, sexist. She is also friends with Sean Spicer. She dabbles in some pretty anti-Semitic tweeting. She once retweeted a tweet about Bernie Sanders following the protocols of Zion to a T. First, can you just tell us, lay out the story and also explain how it unfolded, how you even started looking into this?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I came upon this story because a Twitter user who goes by the handle @likingonline, a guy named Trevor, he had been having, a fight with Sally. I'm sure you've talked about these before on your show about Sally Albright's anti-Bernie Sanders tweeting. And she was saying that, that Bernie Sanders' plan for free college was racist. And this gentleman, Trevor, was contesting her assertion of that. And noticed that anytime she responded to him, he would get this flood of notifications from accounts that would just seem to be spamming, like to make it difficult to actually interact on Twitter. Like he would get dozens of notifications all at once from this same group of Twitter users. So he started investigating and discovered that they seemed to be operating in an automated fashion. And so he posted his findings online. I came across it on Twitter and decided, to double check a lot of the work, to Google reverse image search a lot of the images attached to these accounts, and to contact Sally Albright and other people who may or may not have been behind this. And, you know, it turned out that there were these dozens of automated accounts seemingly connected to Sally Albright that would, you know, mass retweet or tweet out links to stories in an automated fashion using an application that allows users to automate a large number of Twitter accounts all at once. And, you know, they would usually do this action for, you know, anti-Trump, anti-Republican, hashtag resistance stuff, but then also anti-Bernie Sanders material was also a favorite thing for them to mass retweet. And a lot of these accounts had pictures of other people that I found, you know, elsewhere online. A lot of them were dead people, which is incredibly creepy and mm-hmm. certainly a violation of Twitter's terms of service.
She wanted to honor them.
And so, I talked to Sally, and she said that she was bound by a non-disclosure agreement with some client, and that basically what this was that people were able to sign up their accounts or old accounts that they no longer used over to this some client who was automating them for whatever purpose it was. It's unclear. And so some of these accounts may have once upon a time been actual people who did tweet their own thoughts, but have since been turned into bots with fake photos. So they carried over their followers into their new life as a robot. And, you know, that's sort of, I couldn't figure out exactly who was behind this. I know a lot of people are speculating that these could be the Correct the Record bots that we heard about during the primary campaign, but it's unclear exactly who is behind this. As Sally said, she had a non-disclosure agreement and couldn't disclose or wouldn't disclose to me who it actually was that she was working for. The person who originally did this research, a user at Liking Online, he had compiled on the internet. He put up a whole investigation and put his data up there. And, you know, these were the other accounts that were more commonly shared after Sally was the number one most common Twitter account used. And then these ones were more commonly shared after that.
Right.
And so that's why I looked at that also, because, you know, like at Liking Online, the Twitter user who found this initially had been accusing ShareBlue of having been behind this. They told me that they weren't. I'm sure that your listeners can figure out if they want to believe them or not. You know, I don't know what other research is to be done there or investigation. I mean, obviously people seem to think that this is connected to Correct the Record's use or, you know, alleged use of bots during the primary. You know, the activity that I mostly looked at took place in 2017. And that's these may have been a similar action by a different client. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. And of course, ShareBlue is connected to David Brock, the born again, who went from being a right wing conservative hitman to being a Democratic hitman for the Democratic Party. His target used to be the Clintons. Then he started working with the Clintons. So he's a big Clinton ally. And he's connected to ShareBlue, Correct the Record, Media Matters. And that, of course, is the world of the Peter Dows, the unhinged Peter Dow. Tom Watson, I guess, is a fellow traveler. He doesn't work for them. Melissa McEwen or Shakesville on Twitter. Melissa McEwen wrote a wonderful piece called, like, The Inherent Misogyny of Bernie Sanders' Anti-Establishmentarianism, about him, how he's the establishment. She didn't mention he was Jewish, which I thought was an interesting oversight. She also compared Trump and Sanders potential debating each other, which they didn't do. And she compared Bernie wanting to debate Clinton and Trump wanting to debate Bernie when Clinton said no to rape. She said they like wouldn't take no for an answer. She does really great work. And anyone else who I should go? Oh, Eric Bollert too. What was she like when she spoke to you? Sally Albright.
You know, there was a quote that I had in the piece towards the end where she sort of admitted that, like, maybe she didn't realize what this was, what automating these accounts and using them to sort of like artificially promote a message on Twitter was. I think that she was kind of surprised that it was a story. And, you know, maybe she recognized that this was a bad idea and a poor practice to use on social media. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she used these tactics in other campaigns that nobody noticed before. Maybe this is common practice for people in that field. I'm not terribly sure. But I mean, she sounded like she was surprised she was in this position. I don't think that she's attracted very much like actual media coverage,
right,
aside from the like fighting that
on Twitter,
on social media.
Right. She said to you, I don't really see it as the same thing as the Russian accounts, but I guess since you're calling me out, I guess that means that it's something that I didn't think that it was, if that makes sense. People seem upset by it in a way I did not anticipate. What is the difference between what she did and what the Russian accounts did?
I mean, I think that there are definitely similarities, which is, you know, you're basically attempting to falsify a divisive argument. You're trying to put your thumb on the scale,
right,
with machines, essentially. Or, I mean, the Russians were more sock puppet accounts. They were more like people actually behind them, not automated accounts. They weren't,
sure,
you know, actually what we would call bots. They were real people screwing around.
So the difference between a bot and a sock puppet is that a bot is like automated, is controlled by someone else, and a sock puppet is like
a sock puppet would be like, you know, you pretending to be someone else on the internet. Like,
got it. Okay.
You know, one of the Russian accounts was Blacktivist, and
right,
they were on Twitter and Facebook, and it was like a sort of fake Black Lives Matter type,
right,
account. But that's not who they were. They were just doing that for, you know, trolling influence purposes.
Right. Which is
what we now know.
Led like great people like Lisa Talmadge on Twitter to say that she always knew that those weren't real Black people. They didn't sound Black. This is a white woman responding to. So, of course, then some people would use that to pretend that all of Black Lives Matter was like either Russian bots or duped by Russian bots or somehow complicit or like tainted by that. But yeah, if you think that the Russian social media stuff delegitimized our elections, then don't these also, just in a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this shows the problems that we have with social media platforms, especially these incredibly large ones that collect as many users as possible and have a kind of economy of scale where you can automate users to target a political conversation, and that automation has influence.
Right.
Obviously, that's a huge problem that I guess our elected representatives need to talk about.
And yeah, and I'm just saying, to be consistent, I mean, Sally herself has tweeted several times about Russian bots or about bots, Bernie bots. She'll just dismiss people as bots. She also, you know, talks about how important the Russian bots were. So again, if that's important, then so is what she did, right?
Yep.
When you asked her the questions that you asked her, did you bring up Russia or did she bring it up on her own? I'm just curious. Do you remember?
I had brought it up.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering. If she was more self-aware than I thought, but you brought it up. Okay. And so this is legal?
Yes. I mean, the question is whether it's a violation of Twitter's terms of service, which a lot of it quite likely is. I mean, the impersonation of a person is a violation of Twitter's use of Twitter's terms of service. And it's a violation of, she was using an application called Buffer,
right,
which allows you to automate a lot of your automate your Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, but you can use it to mass automate a lot of accounts. And, you know, it violates their terms of service as well to impersonate people. Now, Twitter is also currently about to implement new terms of service that limit the amount of mass automation possible on the platform. So some of this will be harder to do in the future. I believe that those go into effect at the end of the month of March. This could be harder. I'm sure that there are lots of people out there of any and all political persuasions or nationality, you know, doing things like this, automating accounts, mass automating accounts to push any political agenda. There's nothing illegal about it. I don't think that we've had, you know, the hearings that we had about, you know, Russian influence through the Internet Research Agency, you know, only barely touched on the automation of accounts or, you know, actual bots, as opposed to the sock puppetry that we saw in that case. I don't know, you know, what the solution here is, but it's a conversation that isn't really happening at like a congressional, legislative, regulatory level yet. We're not even talking about laws yet. Right. I don't think anybody is. I mean, you know, there's been talk about, you know, how to make ads more transparent. You know, the Honest Ads Act is a bill that was introduced by Mark Warner, Amy Klobuchar, John McCain is a co-signer to that bill. And that would make, political advertisements and other advertisements on large online platforms disclosed to the public. But it would not address this issue of automated accounts being used to, you know, overwhelm political debates on something like Twitter.
So Sally would use Buffer, and Buffer, you can like schedule your tweets, right? And you can connect them to your Facebook account. But you are allowed to have multiple accounts that you do, or like control multiple accounts and in one fell swoop you do that, or you would do it kind of like you'd log in and out?
Oh, you can have, Buffer has different categories of membership that you could pay like $500 a month. Say you're a consultant and you're getting paid by a client to do this, you can have the money to sign up for Buffer. And then you get to automate, you know, then you can have under your control through a service like Buffer. I believe Hootsuite is another thing
that
allows this kind of activity. Yeah. And so, you know, that would put dozens or hundreds of accounts all in your control. And then you could sort them into your own groups so that they could do, you know, certain accounts would do some behaviors while other accounts would do, you know, respond to other types of accounts. You can set them up to automatically retweet users whenever they tweet, set them up to automatically retweet a specific hashtag or specific content without ever knowing what's actually being said in the tweet that you're telling them to retweet. So, you know, you're automating this fake interaction that's making it seem like there's support for an idea in, you know, especially when this is happening in politics. You know, it's like it's falsifying democracy, essentially.
Right. It's making an idea look like it's more viable or more popular or more has more kind of like legitimacy or currency than it may actually have. So you can like tweet from multiple accounts at the same time and say Bernie's racist or whatever it is that they want to say, because I guess presumably you're not impersonating. Like if you're a social media professional, right? And I'm hired by a bunch of places, I guess presumably they could all want the same tweet at the same time.
Yeah, that's my understanding of how it currently works. I don't know if it will work going forward under any new terms of service, but yeah, that's how it would work. I mean, you know, what would violate their Twitter terms of service is the fact that, you know, she was using or whomever had taken these accounts and automated them were using pictures of you know, actual people. You know, one of them was an Olympic ice dancer. They took her picture from Instagram and put it on some, you know, account that's retweeting attacks on Bernie Sanders or, you know, whomever else, you know, random people on Twitter.
He's very controversial in the ice skating community.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of hot takes, coming out of that. And did this woman find out, this ice skater, did she find out now?
No,
did she know?
I don't know if she, I believe it may have come to the attention of Twitter. The account that was using her photograph when I was doing this research for the story had been temporarily suspended.
Got it.
So, you know, it came up and told you that, but you could still click a button and it would show you the account. Some of the other ones had been permanently disbanded, like they didn't exist at all. One of those had been previously reported in a Vancouver newspaper about a Vancouver woman whose image was used for one of these bots.
So these are people someone either created them, or they are people who like relinquished their accounts to be used.
Yeah, I think that I think from what I could understand, it's people who have signed up their own accounts and may still maintain some control over it, but have also signed away their account to be automated for these kind of purposes that they, you know, they agree with this. And then there are other people who may have signed away their account entirely and the pictures have been changed and it's, you know, completely fake. And then there were a number of accounts also that Sally told to me that were from previous projects of hers that she had signed over, which, you know, a lot of them were still attached to websites whose domain names she had purchased, which was easy to find out. But she said that she had turned some of her old accounts for projects from that were used in Alabama and, you know, other campaigns, I guess, she was involved in that were then turned over to this automated project.
I spent a lot of time fighting with her, and people would kind of shame me and chide me because I guess it was a waste of time. But now I'm kind of proud of it. Like, I interacted with a bot master. I helped save democracy. Yeah, I'm gonna put it down for that. And Sally, of course, named herself. She is like a self-anointed leader of the resistance because she at this website, what is it? Independent Journalism Review. Independent Journal Review. She did the 100 most influential like Twitter resistance people, and lo and behold, she herself was on that. We actually talked about this with Sam Knight and Sam Sachs of the District Sentinel. They have a website and podcast out of DC. But that's of course kind of a right wing website. Do you know the Independent Journal Review?
Mm-hmm.
That's
a conservative website.
And that is the headquarters of the listicle of somehow of resistance Twitter. A lot of these people like Sally and Lawrence and Eric Garland, Lawrence Tribe, a lot of them, you know, do like to kind of accuse people of guilt by association, call people bots.
You know, back in the old blog days, everybody would call someone a troll,
right,
to shut them up. And it's just another way to shut people up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to your argument. It's just classic internet behavior.
Right. I mean, I do think it's kind of, you know, I think that I wonder if any of these people will be more reluctant to call other people bots, given that if they were actually retweeted, which again doesn't make them a bot, but it's kind of like, since they have no proof when they call people a bot, they're more bot adjacent than the people they accuse of being bots.
You would hope that people would see something like that and then think twice about what they're saying on Twitter. But
right.
I mean, as we know, that the number one rule of Twitter is to never tweet. So
right.
Everyone breaks that rule.
Yeah, right. We're already lost causes. Has anyone that you've noticed like tried to distance themselves from her or responded to this at all?
I mean, not really. I contacted ShareBlue and they told me that they barely even knew who she was.
Ouch.
And that they had never worked with her.
Right.
And that's about what I've seen from that. And, she said that she's working on a new project. And that's why she disconnected from this one. And so I don't know what that is, what she's doing right now, aside from perhaps still tweeting.
It's anyone's guess as to which Republican she's now working for. And anything else, like why this matters, why you think this is an important story, what effect it has on democracy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's sort of the big thing to take away from this is, you know, we've had this conversation about Russian bots from the Internet Research Agency. And, you know, there are other bots out there. There are other political actors in our domestic politics who have their own agendas, who are using automation, the technology that we have to automate political opinion and to amplify political opinion through this kind of automation, which is, you know, it's putting a thumb on the scale in a democracy, in a debate that we're having. You know, if Twitter is a public forum, even if it's controlled by a private corporation, if it's a public forum where we're supposed to be debating the policies of this country and deciding who gets elected, if, you know, one side is just a bunch of automated robots controlled by a single person, making it seem like a subject is trending, something is more important than it really is, you know, that's the problem that we have in our democracy.
It makes something look like organic, more organic and more grassroots. And this is kind of astroturfy in a way.
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar to astroturf. Or, you know, I remember years ago there was an issue where there was a net neutrality hearing and Comcast or one of the telecom companies paid people to show up and fill up all of the seats so that the pro net neutrality people couldn't sit in the meeting and ask questions. And so, you know, I don't see how this is any different than that. It's just this, you can do it at a much greater scale because you actually don't have to pay a robot.
Yeah. So it's like astroturfing.
Yeah.
Online astroturfing. Yeah. Great. Well, yeah. And again, I just think, you know, anyone who's thinks that the social media Russia stuff really tipped the scale can sleep better now knowing that these people also were being retweeted. So, you know, democracy was distorted to the extent that it was in both directions. I think maybe they balance out. That's my takeaway.
I think that this is happening from all different directions, and it's hard. It's hard to figure out where it's going on. It's a difficult thing for anybody on the platform to figure out. And so I guess, you know, we need more reporting and more investigation of these kind of activities.
Right. But certainly there's no attention, like no one is talking about this. And the attention that is being paid to this when, I mean, you're the only person who's written about this Liking Online has, but you're the only person who has at a major outlet. Certainly, you know, has gotten no real attention. And you obviously, Huffington Post is a high profile publication, has a lot of reach, but people who consider it a kind of national emergency, that there were some people paid by Russia to tweet, seem to be totally okay with what Sally Albright did. So it just seems like a total lack of consistency. Like if one is important, then.
It could be. I think that people need to pay attention to all kinds of abuses of the platforms that are happening. And I think that, you know, the platforms also need to pay attention to what they're doing to encourage this kind of behavior from any actor.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Paul Blumenthal.
Yeah.
You can find him at Huffington Post, and you can find him on Twitter at Paul Blue. That's Paul BLU, no E.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bye, Paul.
Bye.
That was Paul Blumenthal.
Scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
So informative.
So informative. Makes great points about how our democracy is at risk. Our democracy is being played. The cool thing about the Sally Albright story is that she's not the only one who was part of this bot network. Other people who were retweeted a lot by the same network was Eric Garland, who's kind of insane and talks about, oh, sorry, that's ableist. He is an interesting man who talks a lot about time for some game theory. He's really weird. He's kind of hysterical, obsessed with how great Ronald Reagan is. He's one of these, there's this whole new genre of people who like love Bush and Reagan. And the Iraq War is a good time to remember.
Right, right, right. Or the Iran-Contra affair. Or introducing crack to South Central.
All of those, right. But
Governor Reagan when he was at war with civil rights activists in California.
Yeah. Or Governor Bush when he was just killing people on death row and making fun of them and laughing.
Or Bush Sr. when he was the head of the CIA.
And like invaded Panama, or was that, that may have been under his vice presidency. Either way, complicit in that invasion, getting rid of Noriega. That was him, yeah. I think Grenada was Reagan, another really important invasion, which I slept so much more soundly at night once we got rid of that.
Or the assassination of Archbishop Romero yeah. in El Salvador.
Yeah, all those great hits. the hits just keep on coming. But, you know, the anniversary, the 15-year anniversary of Iraq is a good time to,
you know,
to really bask in the glory of George Bush and be ashamed of ever pointing to him as a good guy.
Yeah.
You can hate Donald Trump and think he's unprecedented in some ways and still give George Bush credit, W credit, for being unprecedented.
Well, you know, Trump hasn't started the wars yet.
Right.
He's just living with, he's just got it on cruise control.
Yeah.
For the wars that we're already enmeshed in.
Yeah. We can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? We can say that that W was a terrible president and killed lots of people and is responsible for a lot of this, and we wouldn't have Trump without him.
That's
in lots
right.
of ways. And yeah, Trump is like unhinged and doesn't have a, you know, Mike Pence is not Dick Cheney. At least he's not an overt Dick Cheney. Like, we always knew that Dick Cheney was calling the shots.
I don't even
Bush.
Know what Mike Pence is doing.
Not
well, I knew
not,
what Cheney
he's not
was
hanging
doing.
Out with women.
Yeah.
Without his wife.
I have sad news for Vice President Mike Pence. Groupies out there. Apparently, he won't go out to dinner with a woman, mm-hmm. we've heard, unless his wife Karen is with him too. Mm-hmm. And he won't attend any event where booze is served without her either.
That's a great cover. I can't hang out with women. I have to hang out with men, or else I'll cheat on my wife. So let me keep hanging out with these men. Just going to hang out with men.
Cause all
it's,
day.
It's all day, all night. You know what? Give me a couple weeks to hang out with men. I'm going to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see any women. It's going to have to be a gay cruise only because I'm afraid I'll run into a woman if I'm not in an all male environment. And that happens to be easiest moving vehicle.
There's no temptation.
Yeah, no temptation. Mm-hmm. No women.
No forbidden fruit.
No forbidden fruit. And that way I won't cheat on mother. We've all been there. Mike Pence does. For the record, this is not an expose. This is something he himself has said. He calls his wife mother. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like an earth mother, like Papa Pachamama type thing.
I love it. It makes me think of the Danzig song every time you say it. Yeah.
That's a great song, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like an amazing song. Yeah. I'm so glad we had the excuse to cut to that song.
Uh-huh.
It's so great. I really like that song. Sorry, I'm getting so excited.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them from the wedding world? Oh, mother.
Somebody sings that song at every karaoke.
You know, I've literally never heard it sung. Ever.
We have different karaoke demos.
Demos, exactly. Yeah. Totally, yeah. You know, we're going to have to do a live taping with karaoke of the Katie Helper Show, and we're going to have to do Mother.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there, yeah.
Dedicated to Mikey Pence.
Mikey Pence, yeah. I didn't... So Danzig is not the person.
It's Glenn Danzig is the person. Danzig.
The band is Danzig.
There's a great viral clip of him from a while ago getting knocked out.
What happened to him?
He just tried to step to somebody backstage.
Do you wanna bang heads with me?
And he got knocked out. It's very, very funny.
He's okay though, right?
He's
we want to make sure he's okay
he's
before
fine.
We make light of that.
Yeah.
Okay. To hear the rest of our interview, please go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/theKatieHelperShow. Again, that's patreon.com/theKatieHelperShow. You're definitely gonna want to hear the rest of that interview.
Right on. And you can follow me at Gabe_Pacheco on Twitter.
And follow me at KT Helps on Twitter. That's letter K, letter T, H-A-L-P-S. And use the hashtag KT Helps Show. That's letter K, letter T, H-A-L-P-S, H-O-W. Also, rate and review us on iTunes.
We love it. Leave reviews. They're the best and they keep us up there in the feed.
Yep. And find us on Facebook also. And make sure that you tell your friends and family and loved ones about us. We will see you soon.
Yeah, we'll get back to you about a live show coming up soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to The Katie Halper Show. We'll see you next week. And make sure that you subscribe to our Patreon so that you can hear our bonus episodes. We bring you my interview with Liking Online, the person who discovered Sally Albright's troll farm. And we bring you a little review, a little pop culture review. Just go to patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.